You may be seated. What a great joy it is for me to get to read the scripture and be here to witness Carol's sermon. The readings this morning come to us from the Gospel of Matthew, first in chapter 14. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and he cured the sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour now is late. Send the crowds away so that they may go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves of bread and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And then from Chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen.
Good morning, family. I love bread. Okay, I just want to share that. I love bread. I love to bake bread, and Len loves it when I bake bread. Nothing is quite so wonderful as the smell of baking bread. I actually got up at 4 o'clock this morning to put a loaf of bread in the bread maker, and it was still warm when we got in the car. I brought some to share with everybody here for the fellowship hour. Now, I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area, and so one of my favorite things to do was to go to Fisherman's Wharf and get the fresh, hot Bodine's sourdough bread to go with the crab cocktails there. Oh, and then what about clam chowder in the sourdough bowl? Oh, yum. I also used to hike in Marin County on the slopes of Mount Tamalpais, and I would stop on the way to the trailhead at Bordenov's Bakery and get the sourdough rolls right from the oven, and I would take them still warm, and I would sit on the slopes overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge and drink my little thermos of tea and the warm sourdough. It was just, oh, wonderful stuff. When I moved to Massachusetts about 20 years ago, it was a culture shock. Okay, first of all, the weather, I mean, I hear there was just a bunch of snow. I am so grateful to be in California. And then, of course, the way people give directions. You know, you can't get there from here. Craziness. But the worst was finding what they called sourdough back there. Not even close. Fortunately, they have Trader Joe's. So I was able to get Trader Joe's version of sourdough. It's not San Francisco sourdough, but it kept me going for a little while. And then, of course, my mother and sometimes Len's sister would send us little care packages of sourdough bread. It got us through the drought. I tried baking sourdough there, and it just didn't work because apparently it's the yeast that's native in the air that makes the specific culture. Now to bake sourdough, you need what's called a starter. It's a mixture of flour, water, sugar, and yeast. And it actually, you keep it in the refrigerator and just take portions of it out, proof it, let it come to room temperature and bubble and get all nice and fermented and sour, and then you bake the bread with that. Now, I had a neighbor back at Andover Newton Theological School who actually had a starter living in her refrigerator, because it is a living, yeast is a living object. She actually named her starter. I haven't gone quite that far. But I do take good care of my starter, and I hope you will agree when you taste the sourdough bread. Now, today's scripture talks about sharing bread. The story of Jesus feeding the multitudes is actually in all four Gospels. So I always thought, you know, when something is in all four Gospels, we really are supposed to pay attention to this. Disciples just didn't see how five loaves and two fish were going to feed, what, 20,000 people maybe? Because they only counted the men, 5,000 men besides women and children. So think about how many people that was. I really like the way Jesus handled this, though, because he said, no, don't send them away. You feed them. Bring me the bread, and then you pass it out. So it's not just, you know, oh, we can't see how to do this. It's, okay, we'll bring it to you. Jesus blessed it, and it was miraculous. 12 baskets left over, and that's after everybody ate their fill. It's just amazing. Now, Jesus really understood multiplication. In earlier teaching, he said the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast, here's yeast again, a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, I think that's about 60 pounds, it permeated every part of the dough. So just a little bit of yeast just spreads. It's just amazing. Just like that little bit of loaves and fishes was multiplied miraculously to feed everyone. The disciples didn't always get these illustrations, though. Sometime later, when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread with them. And Jesus said, be careful, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the disciples immediately are like, oh no, is it because we didn't bring any bread with us? And that's Jesus is, I can just see Jesus kind of face palming. You of little faith, why are you talking about having no bread? Don't you understand? Do you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls of food were left over? Or the 7 loaves for 4,000. He didn't do it once, he did it twice. How is it you don't understand I was not talking to you about bread this time? Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they finally understood. He wasn't talking about the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now we saw how a piece of news absolutely exploded. 500 and something likes? That's amazing. That is amazing. In a week. Lots of things can spread. But it's seeing how they spread that's important. I recently rewatched the movie Pay It Forward. How many of you know that film? It was about a young boy whose teacher challenged him to go out and do something that will change the world. Now, the boy came up with a concept that was really rather unique. Do something good for someone else, something big, something they wouldn't normally do for themselves. And then rather than paying it back, that person had to pay it forward and do the same sort of thing for 3 additional people. And you can see, even without doing a lot of math, how rapidly that would spread. Now, one of the things that really got me in the middle of the movie was initially the boy didn't see success in what he did. He helped one person, and that seemed to have failed. He helped another person, and that seemed to have failed. And he got really discouraged because he just said, what good can I do? How can I do anything that's going to change the world? Well, what comes to happen, and without giving you any spoilers in case you want to see the movie, by the end of the movie, it turns out that what he thought had failed actually had succeeded. Had succeeded so wildly. I believe the movie was set in Vegas. That was the impression that I got. I don't remember it in detail. But I believe it was set in Vegas. But by the time the end of the movie, the news and the events the people had touched had spread to Los Angeles, had spread to San Francisco, and possibly even to Arizona. And this was only during the course of a single school year. And you see the faces of the different people throughout the movie who he'd touched and who he'd spread and then spread. And you pan back and you see a line of cars all heading towards this spot, towards this crowd of people standing in vigil. And it chokes me up even remembering it because it's just so powerful. The vision of one young boy to change the world and all the lives that he touched by just paying it forward. Now, as we journey through this season of Lent, this fourth Sunday we extinguish the candle of blindness. Now, isn't it true? All too often we can be blind to things that fall outside of the way we've always done it. Or what we have isn't enough. Or how about what difference can just me? What difference can just I make? Now, I've been thinking a lot about bread and blindness this week. And in the course of my preparation, I tend to wander around and find a lot of different websites. But I found a phrase that I hadn't seen in a long time, and it really made me think. How many of you have heard of bread and circuses? Now, it was the name of a groceries train back east, but that's not what this is about. It has to do with the time in early Rome, around the first century of the Common Era, when the historical birthright of political involvement of the Roman citizens was beginning to wane. You see, by then, Emperor Augustus had realized that the growing working class, the plebeians, had the potential to disrupt the balance of Roman society. Some plebeians who were doing reasonably well might try to save enough money to join the upper class. For many, however, life was a daily struggle. But although individual plebeians had little power, there were a lot of them. In bad times or during political unrest, there was always the risk of the Roman mob rioting or rebelling against the upper classes. Now, Augustus was well aware of this risk, and he was keen to keep the plebeians happy and reasonably well-fed so that they wouldn't riot. So he began a system of what some people call bribery that the writer Juvenal described as bread and circuses. Juvenal wrote, "Already long ago, from when we sold our vote to no man, the people have abdicated our duties. For the people who once upon a time handed out military command, high civil office, legions, everything, now restrains itself and anxiously hopes for just two things, bread and circuses." Free grain and controlled prices meant the plebeians could not starve, while free entertainment, such as the chariot races, the gladiators in the amphitheaters, and the Circus Maximus, meant they wouldn't get bored or restless. What the leaders and the people didn't see was this attitude created apathy and blindness. The people lost focus on their responsibilities as citizens, focusing only on having their bellies filled and being entertained. Sounds frighteningly familiar, doesn't it? So what do we do? Jesus said, "Scripture says a person cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that God speaks." How do we hear? How do we hear when God speaks? How do we see the possibilities that are outside of the vision of what we're used to, the possibilities of things that we've never done before, stepping out into areas where God calls us? We need to be able to hear what is being said and see when we are called to step out and look at things with new eyes. Now, whether you give up something for Lent or take on something like a new spiritual practice, this journey of Lent is an especially good time to help refocus our eyes, ears, and hearts. As the scripture that Pastor Sarah read about, go out into all the world. Yes, making disciples, but paying forward, giving vision to those who can't see anything outside their narrow little world. Sharing God's love, sharing the light and the power of the change that that can bring. That's what the vision is about. So let the blessings multiply, and may we see with new eyes and hear what God is speaking to our hearts. Amen.